John Waters' films, including the 1988 hit Hairspray, immortalized the blue-collar, kitschy side of Baltimore.
We meet 8 o'clock, up on the avenue.
Okay, young ladies, I've had just about enough of this screeching music.
Mother, we're watching the Corny Collins show.
Tracy, I have told you about that hair. All ratted up like a teenage Jezebel.
Speaking of ratted up hair, in real life there's the annual Hun Fest run by Denise Whiting, owner of Cafe Hun. Contestants in beehives try to out-Hun each other.
There once was a Hun from Dundalk. They said she spoke real funny Balmer talk. She looked like a flamingo and kept hollering, bingo!
So that's Balmore Camp. What happens when you cross it with British culinary aristocracy? Here's British chef Gordon Ramsay in a new ad, cooking for a wealthy woman.
This year, I decided to spare no expense for our holiday dinner. So I hired renowned chef Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, come on!
It's disgusting!
And you, what are you doing?
It's raw!
You idiot! Is this your first day?
Gordon Ramsay would seem worlds away from Cafe Hun, but he recently gave it a makeover on his Kitchen Nightmares TV show. Richard Gorelick is restaurant critic for the Baltimore Sun, and we asked him to review it. But Richard, first, explain how Denise Whiting, the owner of Cafe Hun, is something of a polarizing figure herself.
Polarizing is such a good and interesting word because she had been a polarizing figure, but after a controversy that erupted last year, she was no longer polarizing because everyone had the same opinion, which was that she had somehow appropriated the Baltimore phrase Hun for herself and run away with it and, in fact, had trademarked it.
But we understand she's since rescinded the trademark on the word Hun. But still, she was called the Evita of Hamden. Now, this is a Baltimore neighborhood. Remind us, what is it like?
Hamden started to gentrify in the early to mid-90s through the uses of kitsch and camp. So there was sort of an inward-looking expression of blue-collar culture in manic, kitschy, chock-a-block displays in restaurants. What Denise Whiting has taken credit for is that she took the phrase Hun and turned it into a Hun culture. And people resist giving her credit for that, but in my mind, she absolutely did that.
Well, tell us first of all about what was real. I mean, if she created something out of that, what was real? For people who don't know what that even means, a Hun culture.
Hun was a term of endearment that you would hear from waitresses, you would hear it from maybe neighbors on the street. What Whiting did was take that phrase and create a culture around it. Now, there was a lot of exaggeration in Whiting's version of that. But it was the kind of exaggeration that would not be unfamiliar to fans of John Waters movies.
Mom, Dad, oh, Penny, my best friend. I'm so happy. Finally, all of Baltimore knows I'm big, blonde, and beautiful.
So there were cat eye glasses and beehive hairdos. Nearby Cafe Hun, which is on the so-called Avenue, there is a cherished light display on a small self-contained block on 34th Street, which is sometimes referred to as the Miracle on 34th Street. And thousands of families come to see that every year. And I'd say at least half of those thousands of families that came Saturday night were in Cafe Hun, having what seemed to be the time of their lives. If you were a disinterested observer, you'd have to say, this place is great. People are loving this place.
Well actually, it's funny. We heard you talking to your engineer there in the studios of the Baltimore Sun while you were waiting to come on, and you asked him what he thought of, and he said, well, you know, you go there once, but it's not for the food. How is the food?
It will always sound like I'm damning with faint praise, but the food is perfectly fine. It's not much better or worse than you would expect. It doesn't scream home cooking. It's not a farm-to-table restaurant. It's not locally sourced necessarily, but it's a square deal, and there's certainly nothing unappetizing about the food, and there's some moments when, well, like with a crab soup last night where it was actually really tasty and the meatloaf wrapped in bacon. It's good.
You know, our producer, Kevin, is from Baltimore. That's why we're doing this story, because his sister wrote him with her review of the new Cafe Hun. Here it is in part. Gordon Ramsay, again, the British chef who took it over, got rid of anything that was good. The food isn't good. He got rid of the hand-cut homemade fries, replaced them with frozen fries like McDonald's, but not as good. He turned the crab cakes into this coddy thing. So there are locals who can tell the difference.
I didn't try the crab cake. I did catch a glance at it. It looks more like a cotti, which is a small, compact object. But that might be more authentic. That's what our grandparents ate. They ate crab cakes that were small and modest. Now, in the past 20 years or so, the crab cake has blown up into a central menu item in Maryland. So the effect of that is that now, to compete, restaurants are bringing in imported crab meat from Indonesia to make beautiful, gorgeous, lumpy crab cakes.
What else is on the menu? Is there something you liked?
We did. We liked that meatloaf wrapped in bacon, and I did like that crab soup, and I frankly enjoyed my fish and chips, too.
Okay, and what about the decor? I mean, you know, Kevin's telling me that at one time it was sort of things you might have picked up on the curb, you know, as they were being tossed out or at, you know, yard sales. What's it like now?
It's true. Now, again, with Whiting, all of that hand-collected bric-a-brac cast-off was cute, but it was also, to my mind, an enormous dust collector. So what Ramsey and company did was take all of that out and replace it with, well, frankly, a kind of a manufactured kitsch approach. Wall-sized graphics of Hun characters on the walls, and there's leopard print banquette covers. But it looks, if you didn't know anything about Whiting or the history and you were a visitor brought to town by your friends, you'd say, this place is really cute.
Does it feel still authentic? I mean, are you going to have somebody say, hello, Juan, to you when you come in? Are you going to have an authentic Baltimore waitress?
To me, the authentic part about Cafe Hun that I was very impressed with was the young food runner who could not have been more than 18 years old, who was very quiet and modest and polite. And if I had to guess, I'd say he lived within three blocks of Cafe Hun. It might not have the affection of the home team. However, it employs 30 people, and many of them are from the neighborhood. And sometimes a restaurant, if that's the best thing you can say about it, that's pretty good that it's employing people. Yeah. And so not every restaurant has to be serving brilliantly homemade, farm-to-table food. And I think there's some elitism involved with that.
We talk about this idea that a lot of people have never been to Baltimore, but they've seen a John Waters film, and so they feel like they have. How do people there feel about John Waters?
People do like John Waters' portrayal of Baltimore. I mean, if you had to compare it with the portrayal of Baltimore that we see on The Wire, which is very divisive, people are very accepting of John Waters' portrayal of Baltimore, especially as seen in Hairspray. Hairspray, as the expression of a certain Baltimore blue-collar culture, I don't think people could ask for anything better or that they're more proud of.
Richard Gorelick of the Baltimore Sun on the iconic Baltimore restaurant Cafe Hun, which just got a makeover from the British chef, Gordon Ramsay. Richard, as they say in Baltimore, see you down ocean, hun.
Okay, hon.
See, I can't say it the way I do. I can't say the hun the way they do. So, with apologies for my Baltimore accent, back in a minute here and now.